Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We you know, we have attitude. We're moving, and we go into that fight just to land on the line.
Marshall, and we're here to discuss everything that is college basketball. And obviously last night topped off a really interesting, fun, entertaining, all sorts of words to describe what kind of season the 2017-2018 regular season, non-conference, and of course the tournament, which really lived up in a lot of ways to what we thought it would. Obviously the national title game pretty much fell flat on its face in the second half. Of course, you know, unless you're a fan of, you know, the Villanova Wildcats. But anyway, we are here to talk about what happened last night. We will jump into a little bit of, you know, Saturday games, not a ton. We'll bring up basically one stat for that Kansas-Nova game. I'm pretty sure you're going to know what stat I'm talking about. We'll talk a little bit about the competitive game, the other Final Four game too, but we'll talk, you know, a good chunk from last night. Villanova now, two out of the last three national title games, or national titles, not just national title games, but two out of the three. So really putting, I mean, they were already on the map as we know, but man, they really put themselves on the map as a program, as a head coach there, obviously. And the future's bright, no doubt about it. So, like I said, we'll start with a little recap from a combination of stuff, and we'll get but, you know, we're going to have an NBA. We did add an NBA segment, and that's actually going to be what the show is from here on out until early July. If this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, we call it the College Ball Show because it goes from college football to college basketball. Obviously, we start late August for college football, take it all the way to January in the national title game. Then we switch, you know, our focus to college basketball. We take that all the way to the NCAA title game just last night, right? And then next week, we will have a preview and prediction show for the first round of the NBA playoffs. We'll cover the playoffs April, May, June. We'll go to the finals. Then we'll have, after the finals, the recap show of the finals. We'll have the NBA draft show, and our last show will be NBA free agency. Unless something crazy happens in late July or August, something like that. Some kind of crazy trade or something like that. But for the most part, we're going to be on that free agency. So stay with us on a weekly basis. Thanks, you know, for people that listen to any of the three shows, whether it's college football, college basketball, or they tune in for the NBA playoffs a little later, NBA finals and whatnot. We appreciate it. We've been going pretty strong here since late August. So, we really appreciate it. And if this is also your first time listening or you haven't listened much, the College Ball Show is part of the Rope-A-Dope Radio podcast. We stream it live right here, blogtalkradio.com/Rope-A-Dope Radio. It streams live and it archives there. It's basically like the headquarters. Of course, you can catch the show, though, under the Rope It Up Radio podcast at Apple Podcasts, a.k.a. iTunes. Player FM is another great source. We get a lot of listens through there. TuneIn, Spreaker, Speaker, basically wherever the hell you listen to your pods, you can find us there. You can also find us at thegruelingtruth.net, the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, the Rope It Up Radio Podcast, and the College Ball Show is a part of it. And that's available at all the, you know, places, the outlets for podcasts that I mentioned, but it's also available on iHeartRadio. So if you're a fan of iHeartRadio, check out the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast and head over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. They got a great sponsor over there, mybookie.ag. That's mybookie.ag. So, like I mentioned, second half, there's not a ton to talk about from last night. I'm going to bring in my co-host Marshall in just a moment. I guess I'll just kind of bring us to the point of last night, first half, second half, where they started, you know, taking over. Obviously, just overall, though, like I mentioned, two out of the last 3 years, Villanova's cut down the nets. If you look at teams with two championships in three seasons, since 1975, you'll find Duke, which my co-host loves me mentioning first, of course, in 91-92. I still don't count 91 because that's that UNLV, you know, thing, but that's all right. The Kentucky Wildcats, 96-98, one with Pitino, one with Tubby. And, of course, the back-to-back 2006-2007 back-to-back championships from Florida. So that's just a little bit of memory. As far as most points off the bench, man, last night, DiVincenzo? Man, this guy goes for like, 30 off the bench? He just was filling it up. He had like 16 in the first half. He actually had 18 of the 32 points of Villanova at one point. Really impressive there, no doubt about that. He actually set a record for most points off the bench since 1990 in a title game. Booth, who actually had 20 off the bench 2 years ago for what do you know Villanova, and Ray Mercer actually in 96 had 20 for Kentucky as well. Just a little fun fact there. But as far as, like I mentioned, Villanova on Saturday just took it to Kansas. They brought them around the woodshed and just shellacked them. Wasn't even a game, as we know. 18 threes, I think, was it 13 or 14 in the first half? 66 threes in the tournament. It was a tournament record. That was before we even got to the finals. And 454 threes was a D1 final, or record, I should say. And that was, like I said, before last night. So that basically explains what happened in that Kansas game. They were up early, like 11-4, and it was over. As far as that Loyola-Chicago-Michigan game, though, that was a good game. Loyola came out not necessarily hot from three or anything, but they were getting to the line. They were drawing fouls. They had a big advantage there. Slowly but surely, Michigan got back into the game, though, and it was right around like 47-44. At that point, finally, Michigan started hitting some threes. And the second chance points were starting to add up for him. And you could really see him kind of turn the corner with 6 minutes to go after a 13-4 run, which lasted a little over 5 minutes. They tied it 47-47 and literally 49-47 the next time down, basically. They took their first lead since the first half at 15-13. At 6:48, this was 6:14 left in the game, and they basically took it over. Heading into the title game, just some fun facts here. Michigan was the first team all time to reach championship game without playing a top five seed. pretty crazy. Villanova won all five NCAA tournament games by double digits. Only three, I think, have done that with six wins by 10. That's Michigan State in 2000. That's Duke in 2001. And North Kakalaka in 2009. That dominating, dominating team. Just looking at the landscape here, like I said, Marshall, I'm going to go into you real quick. Nova, you know, Michigan, they started pretty fast. They had somewhat control of that first half. Then there was 11-2 run over about a five-minute stretch from Nova. That took the lead for them 25-23 with 5 minutes to go. Speaking of benches, like I mentioned, the bench, man, the bench was so, so key. And Nova just closed really strong. They actually got it all the way up. There was a big three-pointer. Actually, you know, Brunson, their star player for Nova, he was already in the post where he loves to start that Nova offense. He was already posted up, got a bucket, and then he hit a nice three that kind of was like icing on the cake to a 23-7 run. And that got him up pretty healthily at half. It did. They had kind of stretched it to 37-28. They had finally hit some threes, and the bench points 20-3 at that point. Really took over the game. I mean, before you knew it, and that's where I'm going to kind of bring in Marshall here. Before you know it, it was a 15-point game. There's technicals on one of the better players, Wagner, and then it was out of control. It was out of control. Marshall, first and foremost, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. Just weather's getting a little better. I got a new sport to coach. I got soccer starting tomorrow, so I got tennis and soccer to finish off the year. I stay busy down here. I can say that.
Double duty, huh? They do soccer in the spring, huh?
Yeah, it's actually the first time we're trying soccer, and none of the other guys I coach.
Oh.
Know much about it or care, but I want to, so it should be a lot of fun. So yeah, I was a little nervous about, you know, staying up late last night for a game, and I'm normally not one to ever go to sleep early, but I'll be honest, I did not watch until the clock hit zero. Unfortunately,
I
was like, if I wake up and if Villanova blows that game, then my God, I will get to cover a heck of a story of a massive comeback. But, you know,
yeah.
You'd been talking about...
I mean, there
about,
wasn't much... Well, once it got to that 15 points and they had the technical, you're like, all right, dude, it's probably a wrap here.
Yeah. I think after that last four-minute timeout with under 4 to go, I was like, it's about time to go to bed. And one of the key turning points to me, and something I've learned, I mean, every once in a while, like, kind of compare, like, coaching middle school kids to college, and in some ways it's true, is how you manage your players, and you always got to pray to God your best players don't get in foul trouble. Because in basketball, and a lot of teams, aren't built like a Golden State, who have multiple players of depth. They're like Houston, who's kind of really developed a team concept this year, or a LeBron, who never doesn't seem to get in foul trouble. A lot of teams, if one or two players get in foul trouble, you have a massive red flag. And when I was watching the first half of that game last night, Michigan is actually playing pretty well for the first 7-8 minutes. But once that Duncan Robinson got into foul trouble and he went out with about 11 minutes to go, that's when that run started. And I was just kind of paying attention online. And at that point, Michigan was like a 3.5-point favorite in the first half. And it's like, I'm saying Michigan has a chance. And the second that guy got fouled, I'm like, dude, that Michigan's not winning this first half. And they sure ain't winning it by 3.5 points. And after that, it was just a downhill spiral. And the rhythm they had on offense went away. Villanova found some confidence. And that was just kind of a big turning point of the game to me. I mean, because – you can't, if your beeline is Michigan's coach, you can't leave your guy on the court to get a third foul, because that's just giving yourself a massive issue for the second half. So he did the right thing. he put his guy on the bench. But after that, I mean, the game was basically over. And part of that comes down to players, too. And that's one thing I wish as a coach you could just, like, freeze, like, the game in time, because a lot of times the fouls your players commit in the first half, no matter what sport it is, are pretty dumb. You know, I remember telling my kids last year, it's like, guys, I know you're always going to try to play defense, but if you're one of my best players and the score is 2-0 and the guy against you is going in for a layup, you really don't need to hack him. You know,
live another day.
You wanna fight, you want to fight for every ball, but I don't remember exactly where the guy was, but I know the second foul that Robinson committed was like near the top of the key. I think it's like coming off a screen or something. And it's like, dude, you're in the national title. Your team needs you. And you just got a foul when the score was 18-15. And now you go on the bench and your team, you know, just falls apart. And I get that you can't really teach an athlete to take a step back or don't try. But, and those fouls were killer. And after that, that game really did change. Obviously, that wasn't the single most important thing in the game. And maybe Villanova was going to catch some fire on offense no matter what. But that
right, you knew they were going to knock it down at some point, but it didn't.
Yeah.
It didn't help.
No, it definitely didn't help. And DiVincenzo, I mean, that dude just put on a show. It was funny. I was texting my dad about the game last night, and he's like, who is this kid? And I was like, it seems like every year Jay Wright has a guard that's got some Italian-type last name, and he's a kid from probably New York or New Jersey, and he's normally a 3 or 4 year senior, and he's just, all he does is hit dagger shots. Every year, that dude just has his people. He's not the one-and-done coach, but, man, since about 2009, when they gave Carolina a run for their money or a respectable effort, I mean, since then, that team's been damn good every year. And maybe they were good in 2007, 2008, I guess I can't remember specifically off the top of my head, but for the past decade, Jay Wright's had a heck of a program. And now he unfortunately had a buzzer beater to beat my heels a couple years ago, and now another win. That dude's got a system in place, Chris. And, he, you know, we always talk about recruiting being so important in college. He maybe doesn't need to go to California or Florida like some other guys do, but, man, those East Coast point guards, he finds them. And they just turn into these rock solid players. Normally, not many of them turn out to be great pros, you know, like Kyle Lowry. But man, for the 3 to 4 years, he gets those point guards. He develops his system. You know, you can't deny his winning, and the kids buy in. And it won't surprise me to see Nova, you know, making the Sweet 16 Elite Eight next year, because the dude just is rolling right now. And hopefully, no allegations come out. I have no reason to expect that, but I hope this trend kind of keeps going, because when we talk about the blue bloods of college basketball, it's always Duke, Kansas, Carolina, Kentucky. And you kind of forget about Villanova. But, man, for the past 10 years, Chris, they've offered their fans about as much to cheer for as any other fan base has in the country.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you know, what is it? I think 17 years now he's been there. And
jeez,
it's nice
that long.
To see that. Yeah, it's nice to see, though, that they hung with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to say rough spots, but, you know, if you're trying to build a national title, you know, contender, all, you know, each and every year or every other year, every couple of years, you're going to be that type of program, that upper echelon program you're speaking of. You got to get over the hump at some point, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We see it with Virginia right now. They're going through similar stuff beyond – nothing similar at all to, you know, the first round. Obviously, they got bounced in the first round. But other than that, they are going through that. Gonzaga didn't take it all the way to the promised land, but they've gotten pretty far now, type of thing. So it is nice that they hung with them. A lot of times, you know, administration, the fan base in general, it is nice they stayed with him, and obviously it's paying off. And his system, to have the guard post up like that, it really is tough all of a sudden, even though sometimes the zone was working at times, especially early. But if you can get and it just seems like everybody on the floor almost can hit a three as well on that team. So,
yeah.
It's deep. It's the second title game, like I mentioned, that they had a guy scored you know, more than 20 points off the bench, you know, it's that's a crazy stat too. But
yeah,
I don't know, man.
He's got a good system going, man.
He really does, and it's a thing of beauty at times. It really can, and he knew, you know, there was that little 3 out of 4 games they lost this season, and that was about it. Otherwise, when push comes to shove, you'd probably have to say them and Virginia had the best regular season, you know, where you're like, all right, they got the quality wins, they're a quality freaking team, and yeah, it is nice for him to get all the way over the hump, and that fan base, you know, it really helps the Big East as well. We've had that in the last couple of years because, you know, all the changes that had to be made, or I don't know about had to, but, you know, financial reasons anyway, were forced to be made, and they did their, you know, best. They did their due diligence to build it back up and know what they are. They're going to brand themselves as the basketball, the basketball conference, and keep that branding. There was a time, late 80s, 90s, where, you know, Miami and Virginia Tech and so Boston College, where they actually did have a football, they had some football going on too. And even mid-2000s with Louisville and West Virginia, they did too, you know, a little bit anyway. There were, you know, Rutgers as well. So it's really nice to see that. And man, it's just a deep team. Like you said, they don't necessarily rely on the stud player that kind of develop. You look at the experience they had. Did they have a ton of guys that played a ton of minutes in that national title game 2 years ago? No. But they had guys that played minutes in it, and now they developed at that time. And, you know, I thought it was very warranted as well for Brunson to take the player of the year, you know, if you look at it. Obviously, we went over this a little bit, and we looked at, you know, the numbers for Young, and the guy had a hell of a year. It is tough to, you know, I think he's the only guy that's ever done the points and assists. I know it's only been a couple of times points and rebounds. I think the last guy that did that was, who was it? Was it Durant? Or I think there's been someone after that. But anyway, it was a hell of a year just overall. and Nova, their offense, they can get it from a bunch of different places, whether it's bigs, and they defend very well. They're just solid, man. And a lot of times they have that quick little guard, like you mentioned. They also got like a kind of a bigger guard, like Brunson, who can just kind of – those two usually kind of floor manage. And, yeah, man, it's hard to really break down the game because, like I said, I mean, Michigan definitely came out hitting some shots and playing great defense. We knew they had that going for them. They could defend. We knew that going in, but it just slowly but surely you started seeing them cut into it. It wasn't a big lead anyway, but they started kind of chopping into that tree. And literally about 3 minutes, there was a 17 mark, and you're like, of the second half, you're like, yeah, dude, this is probably over. I mean, Michigan can hit threes and that, but so can Nova, and they're starting to hit them now, and they've been hitting, through three games they had the record. Now they have the record without even getting to the final game for threes. But, you know, it doesn't feel like they're jacking them, Marshall. It doesn't feel like that when you're watching them. You know what I mean? It doesn't feel like just every time they're jacking them. They just kind of get it. They just take the best shot. And like I said, I'm not saying like a zone can slow down a lot for a while anyway, but I like how they can post the guard Brunson inside and he can run the offense like that. You just rarely see that nowadays. And usually it's obviously a big that can just pass, you know, and that's usually how you do it. But it's a really tough matchup because then all these lanes open up and you got bigs that can hit threes. Now your big's out of the lane. It's just rough, man. It's really rough. And you're not going to find that much better dresser than the coach of Villanova either. Pretty sharp-looking guy, 17 years on the job. Got the job done, man, no doubt about it. And obviously, just kind of last words on the season. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, it's been a really fun year. A lot of it, I'm glad that I didn't make many bets for college basketball, because it's just like there's so much crap going on this year that you just didn't get a good grip of it beyond Nova and beyond Virginia. And look what happened. One team won the national title game. The other team got knocked out in the first round by one of the worst, or like a lower tier of a 16 seed too. Like, you're not just a 16 seed. You're a pretty weak 16 seed. And it's hard to say they're one of the worst, you know, 16 seeds, because they're the one who won, a pretty quality team. They beat them. So, and it's not like they had injury or whatever. They had that one injury, but that doesn't mean anything for 16 against one. But other than that, I mean, the non-conference, in a sense, kind of fooled us. If you look at some of these strong teams, they fell off. And West Virginia, Oklahoma, there is a handful of people that started really strong, then fell off. And you just couldn't really get a grasp of what was going to go on with the season. There were just a couple of teams, like I mentioned, that were pretty steady. Man, when you look at what Kansas potentially has coming back, they're going to win another Big 12. but overall, that first, I'd say the first three rounds, really. I mean, to have, what was it, nine seeds and below, the first time, there was 3 9 seeds and below in the Elite Eight, I believe. Was that it? Was that? I think that's the stat. There's so many firsts. And to have a bracket, a side of the region in your bracket, to not have the top four teams, and ultimately not the top five teams, actually, because Kentucky went down too. So it's just like, what the hell's going on? And we're talking about Kentucky. We're talking about Arizona, who plenty of people had going to the Final Four. And then we're talking about the overall number one seed. So the shit hit the fan, and I loved it. I loved it. Another fun college basketball season. And like I mentioned at the top of the show, we do college football. We do college basketball. Next week we'll be talking about the NBA playoffs. I'm going to let Marshall kind of do his little wrap up on college basketball as well. And then we'll get to the NBA a little bit, and that Western Conference is still all over the place. Just as a Wolves fan, the amount of movement we've had in the last 2 weeks is just funny and absurd. And just a couple of days ago, they were fifth. And it's pretty funny because, I mean, we've been 5 through 8 a couple times here in the last couple of weeks, but to see four teams all have 33 losses too, it was just the way this thing lines up, it's pretty damn funny. And like I said earlier too, we will be going all the way NBA now for the rest of the year, April, May, June, the finals. We'll have a finals wrap, of course, and then the draft, and then the free agency as well, early July. Tons to talk about there, man. That's going to be a crazy free agency. So we'll have a little bit more of a segment. But overall, you know, the only shitty thing about this year for college basketball was 4 out of the top 6 players were not playing for the Gophers. So that shit sucked. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I was so excited for this year as a Gopher fan. The last 2 years, we had built this team up, and it was Sweet 16, baby. We were there. We were coming, dude. We were coming, and sure enough, the bottom fell out of the Gophers' season, and they just never quite. I mean, you know, the positive note is we did get young players to play, and they played better in the last month, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, you build a team. And that's what you got to do to be successful in college basketball, especially when you're talking about Minnesota level. And it just sucks, man. It really sucks. But other than that, I had a ton of fun watching college basketball this season. Like I said, there will be some more facts and info as far as we, you know, close down the season, the NBA season that I'm going to mention, got to put in perspective of Cats, Karl-Anthony Towns' game last week, that huge, huge 50-some-odd point. Like, I'm going to put that in the reference as well. And I just got some random stats that's kind of a talker in general. But, well, you want to give your little last words on the college basketball season, you know, as we turn our focuses to the NBA playoffs?
Yeah, I thought that could be a sign of things to come, of parity. I think you're still going to get some schools that are going to be one and dones, but, I mean, if you look at Duke and Kentucky, who are taking that path, I think their fan bases are still looking for a little more success from doing that. But, you know, but on the other hand, you still get to see all these hot players, you know, high-ranked players, you know, play together. And next year, Duke has three of them. So, I mean, that's going to be there. Kentucky's going to be better. Kansas is going to be better. But I think we're seeing everyone else kind of catching up. And I don't think this year was a fluke for parity. I think that that'll happen more often. And because some schools are even maybe becoming better at developing players, or other like top-notch schools in the Power Five are becoming better, and you're getting kids to stay 3 to 4 years. And so I just think we're in for a good year, Chris. I'm not saying that we'll next year have a 16 seed being a one, but I think parity is coming along. I think that for some reason, like, mid-majors are coming to better recruiters, or conferences.
You know, there's really
ACC.
No mid-majors left, though. Not many. They've all joined conferences, most of them. The quality ones, anyway.
Or maybe that's a better way to phrase it. Now, the quality mid-majors have made other conferences overall stronger. And maybe just there's just a sense of parity. Maybe it's just athletes nowadays are in better shape condition. Or there's something going on in college basketball that's going to lead to parity. And I think if that's the case, and I look forward to basketball. I mean, you know, you're still going to maybe pick the blue bloods to win the title. But I actually enjoyed a year where you really couldn't feel safe if you're ranked because your team had a good chance of losing three games in a row. Or the number one team in the country, you might lose, you know, back-to-back games in the same week. So I think that's good for the sport. I enjoyed it. It was a fun year. I was proud I got to see the first ever one seed go down to a 16. I was incredibly proud it wasn't my Carolina Tar Heels. But there was just a lot of fun, memorable moments this year with a lot of chaos, and there was a sense of parity, which I think will come back, and I think that'll be good for the sport. And my only, like, last dream is I hope one day, somehow, that Gus Johnson comes back to college basketball in March Madness and, like, can call finals again.
On Fox.
Yeah, that's the only thing that really gets me sad. It's like, man, I wish just for once Jim Nance could take a break, go to Augusta early, you know, watch Tiger Woods work on his tee shots. But just, I just want to hear Gus Johnson call, like, a national title game for once, because that dude, I remember, that guy just has the voice for the sport. And it's just a shame we don't get to hear him once the March Madness tips off. But, yes, yeah, so a fun year, Chris, and I think we'll be repeating. And for my Carolina Tar Heels, next year should be pretty good. They say that, you know, the fear of getting a hammer dropped on you for the NCAA is gone, and I guess Roy's got a decent class coming in next year. But, hey, we won a title 2 years ago, and the way we kind of do things, in about 3 years we should have a damn good team, because we've kind of dropped all of our great seniors, and the way Roy kind of does it, in about 3 years we should have a team that maybe won't win it, but should be on the verge of being very good this year. Yeah, so a nice cherry on top to a very, very fun, entertaining season. And obviously,
and
like Chris said,
we'll
talk
about
like
the... I kind of feel like we've headed down the parity. I kind of feel like we've been parity in college basketball for a while. You know, we talked about the NIT experimental rules as far as remember they're doing quarters, you know, 4 10-minute quarters and all that. They also more, Marshall. I was watching some of those games, you know. And
sure.
A team, Western Kentucky, by the way, who was on the verge of making the tournament. They went pretty far. They got ended up getting beat by Utah, I believe. But they also did some other stuff, Marshall, experimental rules. Just want to get your take on it. Like I mentioned, we did the 4 10-minute quarters. We saw that. They also said teams shoot 2 free throws starting with the fifth ball of each quarter for the bonus stuff, you know, because they had to kind of figure out something there, I guess, a little different. They also did shot clock resets to 20 seconds after an offensive rebound instead of a full 30 seconds. Kind of interesting there.
Yeah.
They did a deeper three-point line. They did 22 feet in like 1.75 inches. They basically matched FIBA. They also widened the free throw lane just like they do. It's by like, let me see here, 4 feet to match the NBA. So they widened that a little bit. So a couple of different takes there. What do you think about the offensive rebound 20-second clock?
I don't that seems kind of strange. I think if you can recover an offensive rebound, then you've earned the time for a new fresh shot clock. I mean, I know the NBA is that one I don't get. I do though like the 4 quarters. I think that does eliminate, you know, spending forever on the free throw line. I mean, you can't be fouled like crazy, but I enjoy that plan. And I think widening out the paint, I mean, you know, I guess I'm kind of impartial on that. It does really matter. But I would be strongly against the lesser of a shot clock. I mean, if you want to do that, do like the NBA does and say, you know, if you commit a foul, then and the shot clock resets back to like 14 or something. I think there's easier ways to maybe shorten a possession for shot clock terms than robbing someone of offense, because offensive rebounds are hard to come by. That's something you should be rewarded for, in my opinion. You're not being penalized, but I don't.
Yeah, because both teams would be under the same rule, so it wouldn't be.
What I mean? I guess I just don't get the rationale of that. But I mean,
sounds
like
it's just speeding up the game, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the clock's not going to go faster.
Well, you're
going to
get your
shot
up faster, clearly, by
10 seconds
minimum every single time. And it may be 15 seconds, you know, maybe 18 seconds, you know what I mean? Because you don't shoot at the buzzer every time, you know. So, it's not something we have to have a long debate about. Figured I'd bring it up because I saw the stat and I was like, oh, you know, I guess I didn't think about that with the 20-second thing. Just something there. They recently reduced it to 30. Would you like to take it to 28 or go all the way to 24, or you're okay with 30?
For college, Chris, I like 30. I do think 24, you're raising up to a level of skill that I don't think it's necessarily fair to get put on the college kids. I mean, because, you know, in the NBA, the ball is normally crossing the free throw, the half-court line. They normally do it around 18 or so. And those guys have time to run a set or two, and then if it doesn't work, you got to have a guy that's going to take some off the dribble. I think that'd be unfair to college, especially if you were to be a team like West Virginia who does press, and you're a college team breaking the half-court line with, 15 seconds to go. I think you're going to lose enjoyment from a fan viewership perspective because you're not going to score
points. And the players aren't learning as much, too.
No.
You know, sometimes we're flying through the motions.
Sure, yeah. And you're going to – I mean, we talk about the three-point shot being used more in college basketball now. You put a shot clock down to 24, that number is going to go up by a pretty large margin. The sad thing about all this is made me think about high school, and I'll only touch on this for a second, but I know where I went to college, North Dakota, they have a high school shot clock. They need to get that in Texas too, because, man, I'm happy there is a shot clock, because when I went to some high school state basketball games this year, seeing a team hold the ball, Chris, for over 2 minutes, like, that's not how basketball is meant to be played. So, you know, I don't even care if you put it for 35 or 40 for high school, but I know some states have it, some states don't, but just for a quick little rant.
Yeah, most states don't.
I guess I honestly don't get it, you know, but it just it felt weird watching basketball with kids in high school from very good schools with kids going to prominent colleges hold on to a ball for over 2 minutes. It's like, dude, that's not how basketball is meant to be played. But I'll stop it there. But, yeah, those ideas are good. Are you thumbs up, thumbs down in the middle on the four quarters, or what was your opinion on that one, bud?
I don't really have an opinion on that one.
Okay.
Fall-wise, I do get it. Like, if they could do something there, that's cool. If that, you know,
sure.
that helps there. No, I don't mind it, though. Don't mind it at all. One thing I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, and it seemed like it happened a lot in the tournament, we got like the NBA sometimes at these end of the games, though, with the replays, watching these freaking replays.
Oh, yeah.
Like, golly, like this year was the worst that I can see in quite some time. But that could be just randomly happening. Otherwise, you know, because that rule has been in place for a while, and I don't remember being sick of it or whatever at the time. So maybe it was just a, you know, random occurrence type thing. I don't know. And then as far as, you know, the NBA and the NCAA, a lot of the talk about what are they going to do? Are they going to go back to just let the kids come out? Are they going to let, you know, are they going to make it a 2-year rule? That's something that the NBA really was thinking about. Hey, let's make it a 2-year rule. Sophomore year, got to stay to, you know, 20 or sophomore. And I'm just sticking to my guns here. I think it's the best of both worlds, man. I think we've seen the difference from 2003 after that draft, after, you know, that's when you started to have to go to college. I really like the fact that, you know, there's been a lot of sophomores and juniors that have been very successful not, like, getting there and realizing, okay, I'm not a top 10 talent. And then they are the next year or two. I think it's just helped in a lot of ways, basketball, college basketball, and pros. And I'm still on the sophomore year thing with a voucher. It's kind of like a voucher. Hey, I got a voucher here. This is my voucher ticket. But, you know, go back to the – or not go back to it, but I go back to what I've been saying for a while. And just like they have the NFL advisory board, just get an NBA advisory board. You know, and nobody knows what team's what. You just put in a – it's like filling out the blank, your top 15 players, whatever, maybe even the first round. But I'd probably say lotto. I think if you're a freshman and you're a lotto pick, you got to go, period. Otherwise, they should start paying you. You know what I mean? They just have to. This is getting nonsense. But in the same breath, I still think there's plenty of guys every year that go as a freshman or a sophomore that just go because of draft stock. And, you know, that's us, that's the scouts, that's certain things that these players get stuck in a position where they're like, dude, you guys are going to dog me in 2 years, so why, I'm going now, screw it. I mean, I feel like Tyus Jones went just off that. He's like, dude, I'm skinny, I'm not the biggest dude, I'm gonna have to develop to be a quality NBA guy, but in a year or two, you guys are going to, you know, dog me. So screw it. I'm going now. We see it every single year. And I think that if there's six of them 1 year that go out as freshmen, cool. If there's only two, cool. But I really think, and that even maybe if it's first round, you know, you get a first round waiver. Okay, fine. First round, maybe not the top 15, whatever. I just feel like top 15 gets you into the first round no matter what type feel because the guesstimations and estimations and all that. And this isn't like teams showing their hands. I mean, it actually is, but not to other teams. So they're not going to be lying and stuff like that like they normally do. So I still think it'd be so easy to have that there. It'd be so easy. And I think it'd be so cool to, if you look back at how many guys stayed in sophomore and junior years in the 80s and 90s and how deep college basketball was, and then in turn how deep the NBA and the NBA draft. You add another year, Marshall, to that draft, and that just, you know, deepens it adds depth to that draft, period. It just does, not just your teams. And then you wouldn't see as many one-and-dones like Kentucky or Duke because they wouldn't be able to find playing time for them because the one-and-dones would still be there. So they'd be like, well, shit, we can't get four of them now. We got to get only two of them because the other two are going to want to play. So I think that helps some of that too. And so programs don't have to even think about that. And you know a couple of guys are going to go or whatever, but I still think we got to figure that out. I really do. I think we got to figure that out, man. And, it, you know, it even when you're in the NFL and you're talking about a junior going out early, you still got guys going out early, and a lot of it has to do with their draft stock later, you know. And, of course, there is that insurance, but that's based off injury. You know, it's not based off, oh, can I just get some insurance to stay a year? You know, it's based off the injury. If you had an injury, you say, well, I got to go. I'm going to go this year because, you know, if I don't come back healthy, I'm screwed. And so you can get paid off of the draft stock and all that. And then there's the other type of insurance that is for that to stay another year. And if you lose draft stock. But perfect example, Marshall, is the two defensive tackles for Miami this year, Hurricanes football. Both of them could probably come back. One of them goes. The other one's like, dude, I'm going to get all the doubles. You guys are going to shit on me, and my draft stock is going to go down. So why not, when I put together two solid years, why not just go now?
Sure.
You guys are going to shit on me next year, and it'll be because I got double and tripled. But yet my edges are still getting to the quarterback, you know? So I think people want to dumb it down or say, oh, this kid's stupid. God, he's making – why the hell would you do that? But then a year later, you look back at people and go, well, why the hell did I listen to you? I lost four freaking, you know, rounds here. I lost 70 picks, you know. So I just think a lot of people press the kids too much. And when you put money in a kid's face, you put money in anybody's face, let alone a kid, bad decisions are going to be made. And not even bad. Sometimes it's literally, you know, in a lot of other lines of work or professions or amateur systems, we'd look at these people like, wow, man, they're really helping out their family and stuff like that. A lot of these kids are making decisions based off their family to go early. So it's not even them just wanting a fancy car and that's it. It's a fancy car, sure, but it's also saying, you know, my mom's been working three jobs. I could take care of her now, you know, that type of stuff. So I don't know, man. It's still a mess. We got to address it. I think even if we kept it like this with the you have to go 1 year and then there are some high schoolers that could get a waiver or whatever. But I just – for every, you know, Kobe and LeBron and KG, there is so many more guys that either were nowhere after 3 years – and I know a couple that the Timberwolves drafted, or they just never develop like a Miller, Darius Miller, or like a, you know, just certain guys where you're like, that guy, man, if he could have just had another year or two, he could have developed. He'd still be in the league today, that type of thing. So there's my long-winded talk to wrap it up. Where are you on this one and done, or should they stay, or maybe they should do like baseball, not 3 years like baseball, but you got to decide right away. Like, hey, are you going to go or are you going to go to college? But funny thing is, you can still get drafted and go to college, which is on that really bugs me. Baseball and hockey, you can get drafted and stay in college. But for some freaking odd reason, football and basketball, you lose games. You know, you get suspended and shit when you do that type of stuff. You're ineligible if you did that. You know, it makes no freaking sense. Although it lines up perfectly if you follow the money and all that type of stuff, because obviously, as we know, college hockey and college baseball, you know, is nowhere near how popular the league is. The leagues professionally are. So a lot of that has to do with that. It's finances. That, you know, that's really what it comes down to. But where are you on this? Do you hope that they create a sophomore thing? Do you say, man, one and done's probably good enough, because these kids, a couple of them a year, could probably go out in any other profession besides these two sports in the whole world. You're bringing in the profit. You should get it. What are your thoughts, man?
You know, I heard someone suggest, I think I want to say I thought I heard like a suggestion from the Big East a couple weeks ago about how either 2 years or go out of high school, and I didn't hate that idea because to me, a guy this year like Bagley could have gone pro, and I'm not saying the guy would have been a freak this year, but he could have had a decent rookie year, goes to the right team with a coach like Popovich or Carlisle or something, and really knows how to coach. And,
yeah, he's
going to go
to the Spurs. That's where he's going to get trapped. Come on. Let's get a little realistic here. But I hear what you're saying. Sorry, I had to jump in.
Yeah, so, so he goes to Spoelstra at Miami, okay, or whoever. But he gets good, you know, tutelage and coaching. Bagley would have been just fine. And,
yep.
You know, so, you know, either, okay, you go pro or – you know, 2 years in college. I mean, that's not the worst idea. I personally don't mind. You know, I don't mind the one and done because maybe it's because I'm a Carolina fan and we've never really been like that. But if you want to be a college that does want to go that way, that is your own choice. You know, people, you know, I was going off on Coach, you know, K last week. You know, it's like, you know, say what you want about it, but, I mean, no one's forcing Duke or Kentucky to play that system of basketball, you know. So, I mean, if that's how you want to raise your team, sure, you know. But, I mean, if it's truly about winning titles and getting kids better, well, the facts are showing that it's really not that success. That formula has not been that successful. Now, if it is your goal as a kid to go to play for Kentucky 1 year and then go pro, I mean, then God bless you. I guess I don't really have a strong point against it because in my mind, deep down inside, Chris, if you're a talented enough player that can go pro, I guess as an athlete or as a coach, I want you to get there. Whether it be you play 1 year, you play 2 years, or you just straight go there. So I don't know. I don't think the 1 to 2 year difference is really a huge like X factor for me. I mean, and I guess the only thing I feel bad about, and I'll end this here, because again, I don't think the one and done's awful. I don't think the two and done or pick your own choice is awful either. I guess the only thing I would kind of feel bad for is the kids out of high school that think they're gifted enough to make it, then they go there, and then a year later they're playing ball in Europe or you know, the NBA was complete bust.
That's what I'm saying.
But,
and we got so many of those guys, Marshall. So many of those guys. I mean, there was so many of them. Literally, like, four guys lived up to their potential. The rest fell short or fell drastically short, where they could literally still be in the league.
Yeah, and now, is that the fault of the league, or is that the fault of a kid trying to go for it and didn't make it? I'm not trying to sound like an a-hole here, but, I mean, if you're a kid that thinks you can make it and you bust out, you know, then.
But you can't put the decision in the kids. That's what I'm saying, Marshall. You're going to take the money, dude. Like, if you're a high-profile guy, you're going to take the money. You're 17 years old, dude. 18 years old. Like, I don't know, man. I think it is. Not only that, but you know how many people stayed until their sophomore and juniors? There was nothing wrong with Alonzo Mourning, who was was a pro body when he came in as a freshman, you know, and he would just get a wager after year. LeBron would just get a waiver. LeBron,
true.
Durant, all those dudes would just get waivers. If it's seven of them or two, I don't care if there's nine of them that go early, as long as we know they're going to go in the first round. That's the biggest thing. So you can get that guaranteed money.
Yeah. I mean, I guess on the other hand, though, for basketball, I mean, maybe they have to develop somewhat of a better way to work your way up there if it does fail. Because, I mean, just think of baseball. Every year I watch baseball, there's always one guy that makes his first major league debut appearance after 13 years in the minors. So if a basketball kid, okay, you go pro, it bombs. Go play ball in Europe for a couple of years, retune your skills, and then come back to the NBA. I mean, the same thing with hockey. So you mentioned those sports. I mean, I know it's a different system, and we don't have necessarily minor league basketball in the country.
Yeah, you also have 5 years to develop in hockey or in baseball. You can literally be in there for 5 years as a, you know, and get up. Like, they don't expect much from you your first time up. You know what I mean? That's not how it goes in the NBA. Once you're on the court, you're the franchise, dude. In the franchise, it's five players on a court at one time. So you stand out. You don't get four at-bats a game, and we'll see you here. Oh, look at you. You got a good defensive play. You know what I mean? So it's a different ball game. And they get to stay. They have to stay for 3 years in baseball if they do go to college. The point is, why can't basketball and football players get drafted and see where they'd go? I mean, doesn't that happen in baseball and in hockey? Every year you can take your name out of the draft, put it back in. What the hell is that? Why is it okay in hockey and baseball? I mean, it's asinine. Like every other sport this way, Marshall. Every other, could go to the Olympics and then go back to your college and play. You know what I mean? I don't get it. I mean, I get it. It's an ignorant. A lot of it has to do with race and ignorance and greed, because they have this. Why do they want to build the G League, formerly known as the D League, formerly known as the CBA? Why do they want to build that league up when they have a league already built, and that's college football, college basketball? You know, they don't want to spend money doing that. You know, and obviously you look at it, rosters. You know, we're talking about sports with 40 people on the roster in baseball. You know what I mean? So you're going to have three different levels. I guess you could say three and a half different levels of minor league system alone. But those minor league systems have been in there, I'm not going to say from the start, but they've been there forever, over 100 years, you know. So it's a little easier to install. So, you know, I don't know. It really pissed me off after a while, because just look at it, dude. You can literally get drafted and go, no, I'm good. I don't like my draft spot. I'm staying at college. Oh, my God. Yeah. Could you imagine what would happen if that, you know? Why can't that happen? You know what? I actually made a bad decision here. I did fall in the draft. My agent said I wasn't gonna, you know, that type of shit. So I don't know.
Yeah, and then you get you get the dream scenario of being a hockey player where you can play for a national title and win your national title in college hockey, and then you get called up by an NHL team and play in the playoffs.
Right.
I mean,
I mean, if that isn't and that's cool. I think that's fine. It's all a business anyway. It's all a big business.
Yeah.
But that really, I mean, that's just crazy, dude, that can happen.
Yeah,
that is
like
unbelievable.
Yeah. So, like, that Bagley would go from going to the Final Four or whatever, Duke or whatever, Sweet 16 Duke this year, and then, boom, hey, the Heat are calling you up for a playoff run. Like, okay, here I go.
Could probably use the guard right about now. Like, hey, you know what? We did lose a guy early in the season. It'd be nice to kind of add you. We'll give you a month to get your legs back. And it's pretty crazy. But anyway, any last words as far as college and this type of topic we're talking about? Otherwise, quickly get to our NBA.
I think in a couple of years a move is going to happen, Chris. But I still think it's going to stay this way how it is for now. And I'd say another year or two, but I think eventually either go or do two, or waiver and do one, or something's going to change. I think it might take a little bit more, but I think it will happen. You know, speaking of the Celtics, though, to go to NBA, I feel like they've kind of fallen on the back burners now for a while. Cleveland's getting hot again. You know, the pressure is slowly creeping in Toronto. I can't imagine how, like, anxious that fan base is going to be. But, you know, for like a month ago, I was like, man, you know, Cleveland's defense is struggling. They bring new people in and their defense struggles again. But now it's getting that time of the year where LeBron's like, you know what? I know I got new people around me. We're not that good defensively again. But, oh, by the way, my name's LeBron James, and I'm probably going to win the East again. Like, in my mind, a month ago, I probably would have bet you, hey, I don't think Cleveland wins these. But then you keep watching games, and I know tonight Cleveland plays
Toronto.
We're
obviously talking about the playoffs winning the East, not winning the East.
Oh, yeah. That's mathematically impossible. But if you're Toronto tonight, I don't care if it is regular season, you best try and beat Cleveland tonight. Because you're going to have to develop some type of mental confidence to say, hey, guys, I know we're the one seed, but like, yeah, LeBron's pretty good. So, honestly, if I'm a Toronto fan and we lose tonight, I'd be scared, you know, assuming we get there, because he's just put up numbers again that are just insane. And this might be, I mean, he's gone from an awful team this year, new people, going like a 7-game losing streak, and now they're hot again. It's like, dude, how much longer can this guy keep doing it? And this is a year where, through the first half of the year,
probably having a top 3 year of his career too. You know, in some ways, you could say this is his best year.
Yeah, but midway, the first half of the year, we're like, oh my god, look at Boston this year, and oh man, and Toronto, they're a one seed, like that's a cool story, and hey, maybe Washington can put up a fight with Cleveland this year, you know, because they've been winning without John Wall. But then you keep seeing box score after box score, and it's like, not LeBron, it's still LeBron's turn. It's just hard to fathom. And last week I'm talking about on our show about how Golden State's been going through injuries, because, well, you've gotten a 3 straight titles. Injuries happen. It's part of the game. Some good luck, some bad luck. Your body's wear down, just like any other job for any other person who listens to our show and lives in our country. But LeBron, no.
But I didn't even know if it was that, though, because look at the injuries. What's-his-toe's got hit in the rib. What's-his-toe's got hit in the thumb. I don't really see him as wear down. I just see him, they just randomly got hurt, you know?
Well, or it could be bad luck, too. Yeah, but bad luck or wear. I mean, you know, to make it through as much as we did without any weird injuries is pretty lucky. But yeah. But LeBron, no, dude, I'm good. It's just every year, grind. I don't know how he does it. So as high and hopeful as my hopes were in the East to see a dogfight to win it, LeBron's just kind of going back like, no, dude, I'm good. You know, I got new boys with me this year, but I'll put them on my back. But, I mean, for the West, we still can't even predict anything because it's still not even set. Like, your Timberwolves, I mean, they're still okay, but they got the Nuggets. The Nuggets are going to be praying to God that they can find a way this weekend. So there's a little bit of drama at the bottom of it. But, I mean, everyone is still kind of fighting just to kind of stay alive or earn a spot or whatever. And I think the West is going to be a lot of fun. I mean, besides Houston being 1, Golden State 2, and Portland more than likely wrapping up 3 from...
Yeah, they've
from,
had that wrapped
from,
up now.
Yeah. From 4 to 9 right now, that's entertaining basketball. And one of my buddies I work with keeps giving me, you know, some grief at work, like, dude, look out. What if your boys got to play Oklahoma City and you don't got Curry? He's like, oh, dude, they're going to sweep you. I'm like, dude, they're not going to sweep us, but... In the back of my head,
no one's
going to
sweep them, but you're right. I mean, they could lose it, but yeah, not sweep. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no, that's a little more BS talking at work. That I just do it. Quit being a hater. But, I mean, the West, like, when we do our playoff preview show, like, man, it's going to be fun. Oklahoma City or Minnesota, Portland. I guess I'm not sure how the Minnesota Portland regular season series went, but any combination of, you know, Minnesota, Portland, Golden State, Oklahoma City. It's truly a shame that New Orleans still doesn't have Boogie. But, I mean, the first round of Western Conference is going to be fun. And, Chris, you know, we've all grown to praise Houston, you know, in the regular season, rightfully so. But you and I know very well that come NBA playoff time, defenses get better and people tighten down and the effort improves. And so – is Houston really going to show a side of defense we've not seen yet? I'll give them credit. When Chris Paul and Harden are on the court, they're a badass team to watch. They can score 115 points with, like, out even sweating in the gym. But if they happen to play a team like Oklahoma City or Minnesota or whatever, is that offensive statistics really going to keep going? Because even with Golden State or LeBron, when it came down to the finals, it wasn't about – who could hit more threes. It was about, well, who was locking down defense more and who could find a way to stop said players more. So I'm not saying Houston's going out round one, but I'd be, you know,
well, there's only three teams better than them right now. There's only three teams better in the East or in the West as far as playoff teams, top 16. There's only three teams better than them if you look at points per game. They've played defense this year. They've been a top 10 defense all year long. And if you look at defense efficiency, they've been in and out of the top five.
Well, I guess I'll be curious just to see how their if their style changes a little bit when it comes to playoff time. As a fan, I wonder if they'll slow it down a little bit more, because when they do play a team like Oklahoma City or Golden State, it literally is just run and gun crazy tempo, and that's never truly proven to be completely successful, because the Suns back in the day had a team like this. And Houston's had teams like this. So I just want to see if the pressure will get to them, or if they'll become a little more defensive-minded. I guess that's one thing I'm looking forward to seeing from Houston is, you burned it this year. You're the number one seed. You've done all you got to do in the regular season. But is this strategy going to work with you, or are you going to have to maybe slow it down a little bit? Because, man, they play at such a fast tempo, Chris, which is a joy to watch, but I think they'll come back down
well,
a little
Ball
bit. Maybe
Chris Ball can slow it down, though. I mean, Chris Paul can slow it down.
That is true. Yes. I'm just excited to see how they perform. Maybe the pressure being the one seed will get to them a little bit. Maybe I'm just saying that in the back of my mind.
I don't think it's excited. I don't think you're excited about it. I think you are very intrigued to see just how good they're going to be in the playoffs for a specific reason, and that has to do with your Golden State Warriors. That's not what I'm excited for. Or, man, this could be fun to check out their D. No, you're going to be scouting the fucking team is what it's going to call it. You're scouting. I know how this works. Trust me. I know from personal experience. I mean, I haven't had a squad like that to follow, but I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
But you know what? We gave Toronto the East a while back.
Mm-hmm.
They're 6-4 in the last 10. Boston has won 6 in a row. They've actually randomly started playing better. And not long ago, our last show, they were 4.5 games back. They're only 2 games back right now. Just to throw that out there. We're going to talk about Philly in a second, because they've run up on, what do you know, some injury stuff. But just some statistics as far as the regular season winding down as well. Dirk Nowitzki, first ballot Hall of Famer, became the oldest player after 20 seasons or more to play the most games. He just hit 75. Kobe Bryant, Malone, Robert Parrish, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in 88,
wow.
89, played 74. Dirk made it to 75, so that's pretty cool. If you look at the rookies in the last 20 seasons, Marshall, most games with 20 points over the last 20 seasons, you got Blake, 55, and this is as a rookie. Carmelo had 49, Durant had 44, Donovan Mitchell has 41, and this was a couple of days ago. He was tied with Lillard,
wow.
Tariq Evans, and Elton Brand, and then Braun had 40. So this, and that's done deal stats. They're already out, whereas Mitchell can still build on it. So he could actually move, technically he could move in the third place over Durant, but he'd really have to close kind of strong. So that's kind of an interesting stat there for him. I did forget to mention this in the coaching side of it. Big shots out to Notre Dame on the women's side of the NCAA tournament. To do what they did, to win back-to-back games like that at the buzzer, that's ridiculous. And by the way, the coach, as we know, Gino over there, UConn, destroying most programs. Marshall, 355-6 playing all in the last 10 seasons. Gino at UConn is 355-6 against teams. Against Muffet McGraw in Notre Dame, 15-8. They got a winning record, but they're 15-8. So something to think about there. So obviously Notre Dame has been on their ass. Another stat winding down the season, LeBron tied and then passed Michael Jordan for the most consecutive games with 10 points in a row, right? 867, and I believe it's 868 now. But Jordan had 866. Kareem had 787, but LeBron recently passed him there. Just kind of a fun fact. But, yeah, dude, when you look at a couple of days ago after a win from Minnesota, right, Marshall? Sitting in fifth place at 44-33. San Antonio was 44-32. We had three teams with 44 wins. We had four teams, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, Utah, New Orleans, 5-8 with 33 losses, all of them. And in Oklahoma City, it was 44-44 with Minnesota and 43-5. I mean, it's just silly. And this was like 5 days ago, not even. I think it was 4 days ago. Just to give you an example of how nuts this has been. I mean, in the last 10 days, they've been on 8 with about a game and a half lead on 9, Minnesota has, and they've been as high as 5. Right now, I believe they're 7th. But, yeah, it's coming down to Denver. They play them on Thursday, Minnesota and Denver. If Minnesota could just go ahead and beat that team right then and there, I think they'd have it. But they got to play them twice. They do have to play them twice. The last game of the season is not tomorrow, but the next Wednesday. For any team, not all teams, but any team, the season's done Wednesday. Not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday in Denver. So they play them Thursday, and they play them next Wednesday. So those are big games. They actually just came off a game in the second half. Really, midway through the third and on, Utah just put the pedal to the metal on him. Rubio was hitting threes like nobody's business. He was 5 of 6 from three at some point in the game. It's kind of weird with Rubio this year, though. His points are up a little bit. He's up to basically 13 points a game. But his assists are at 5.5 when they're always 8 or 9. It's kind of weird. He scored a couple points more, but his assists have dropped majorly, considering, you know. I mean, Teague is basically averaging, like, for a while they're double, but now it's about 7.5 or something like that. But it's kind of weird. His averages as far as shooting percentages, the three has gone up a little bit, but as far as just overall percentage, it's right around where it's been. He's out, you know, for whatever reason, he's always been a good free throw shooter. I never understood that, but he always been a good free throw shooter. But he definitely let it out on the Wolves anyway last night or 2 nights ago. But it's kind of funny how that matchup is gone. And I'm almost positive Rudy wasn't there in the second game of the season this year either. But it's 2-2 for the year. And I'm almost positive Rudy didn't play in those first two games. And then, you know, Butler not playing in the second two games. So we really don't know where the hell Utah against Minnesota stands, because we haven't faced each other healthy. And losing Teague, I don't know what's going to happen now. I hope he's not gone. But losing Teague to a little knee injury does not help, because him and Tyus have been a nice 1-2 punch. And Tyus played pretty well, you know, but we didn't have that backup to come in. So that definitely hurt the Wolves. No doubt about it. There was another thing. Embiid got hit in the head, in the eye. It sounds like a boxer problem, like injury, because he got the swollen eye thing, to where we see that all the time in boxing. People have to have the surgery. But he also got like a minor concussion, like a walking concussion on that play too. And you start to add it up, and you just think, no, not now, Embiid. Don't go out now, dude. And you're a big dude. Hopefully he doesn't have, you know, it wasn't a full-on concussion. So hopefully he doesn't have, like, you know, a lot of issues with that. It was just a walking concussion. It's just, you know. But with Embiid on the court, they are averaging basically 115 points. And they're giving up less than 100, basically 99 points. With him off the court, they're only averaging 102 points, and they're giving up a buck 04. So you got literally overall a plus 16 when he's on the court, and a negative 2.3 when he's off the court. So I'm thinking they need Embiid to win. What do you think? I think that's pretty much a clear stat there. But I really hope that he gets that figured out, man. I'm really pulling for him in that way. I really hope that he's going to be okay. But as far as the playoffs, like you said, we can't really start breaking down. We can't do our preview show or anything like that. We may even have to delay the preview show to Thursday night or something like that because, you know, that Wednesday, you know, if the Wolves lose on Thursday, it'll likely come down to that. You know, they're still in the seventh spot, but they're right, you know, Utah's just right there. And mm-hmm. I don't know, but the good thing is from a Timberwolves side, Butler is finally got his first 5-on-5. He's full contact. He's playing. And he it sounds like he will be back. Now, I don't know if he'll be back, you know, like I was hoping before the end of the season he could help get a couple of games underneath his belt. But basically, that Utah game and, God, what other game was it? It wasn't Portland. But that basically took the Wolves out of contention for that fourth or fifth spot, especially the fourth spot. They're just right now, without Butler, they just can't consistently beat good teams right now. They may beat a couple of them, but they just can't do it. I think they're 9-9 or 8-8. And I think there's four other games or six other games. I think they're right around 500. If you look at earlier in the year and then this last injury since February 23rd without Butler, we're right about a 500 team without Butler. But, yeah, they're just having problems beating the good teams, you know, without Butler, which obviously makes sense. But it does sure. It does suck. You got any last words? We do have a couple of callers. You got any last words about NBA stuff or anything or something that maybe I mentioned you want to add on to or anything?
I just get healthy, Steph. Get healthy.
Yeah, especially Steph, because the other injuries you can deal with as far as what they have. You know, you figure they'll be okay.
Yeah.
But, man, Steph, that's a big one. I mean, the fact that they're not even having him come back, you know, in the at all, or maybe not even in the first round, tells you just how serious it is. It's very similar to what Jimmy actually had.
Exactly, yeah. I just because Clay came back, he's fine. Iguodala has been shooting the ball lights out compared to how he normally shoots. I mean, that's all looking good, but we definitely need the ringleader back. So hopefully he gets healthy. And for besides Golden State, I kind of hope Portland makes a nice run. You know, I don't know. That's kind of a team I enjoy rooting for, so we'll see. But they could easily end up playing either your Wolves or they could end up playing Oklahoma City, which would be a very fun – hell, all the Western Conference series are going to be pretty fun and entertaining, but we'll see how that plays out. But yeah, just I want to see the best people on the court. I think a LeBron against Philadelphia first-round series, if possible, would be sweet if Embiid plays. That would be great for the city of Philadelphia, great for ratings, kind of a bunch of new young stars, you know, going against, like, one of the best of all time. I mean, that I kind of hope for that series, if it could happen, to happen. I hope the Warriors get healthy, and we'll go from there. But it's kind of the point now where it's like, I wish the season was over. I mean, I know that we still got to, you know, get some
games
in.
Yeah, you're telling me. Shit, I wish the season was over right now. Like, I'll take the seventh spot. Who cares? They don't have Steph. I'll take it. I just want to get in the playoffs, man. I don't want to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, that's all I got, brother. Eventually here, we'll get these playoffs are going to be settled, and then it's game on in the West, and we'll see how these plays out.
Yes, sir. All right, let's get to some of these callers, and then we'll head on out. I'm just going to go by order. 929, you're live on the College Ball Show. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Pretty good. Can you suck your own cock?
Yeah, I can.
I got a pretty big penis. I can suck my own cock. It's long and thick. I got a big...
All right, every once in a while you're going to run into that. You know, I mean, I tried to answer it honestly, Marshall, right? I thought I did a pretty good job at answering it, didn't I?
My God.
I mean, he asked me a question, and I answered it. I actually, you know what? It's been a while since middle school, you know, where you actually attempt something like that. I mean, let's not mess around here. You know, in the head of a middle schooler, you're going to at least, if you never tried it, you're going to at least think about it. Like, huh, you know what? I wonder, and you get like the beaker out and you get the experimental, you know, you get the lab coat out and you start to go, you know, I think I could make this happen. But anyway, we have a private number that I don't think we're going to go to it, the private number. I hate to do this, but coming off of what the call we just got, and they called within like 15 seconds apart from each other. So I'm thinking if you're private, gotcha. They hung up. See, I'm used to this shit on the boxing side. This is years ago, so that's why I actually offered it. You know, I was honest in my delivery. I wanted to honestly ask that. So, and it's funny because as soon as I started saying that, Marshall, he hung right up. So it was probably the same dude. Just on two different lines, or him and his buddy were like, "Ooh, watch this," because I probably picked something right in boxing, and they're mad at it or something like that, or we got into a debate that they couldn't handle or something like that.
Sure. So. Yeah.
But that's the first time it's happened. That's the first time it's happened on this show where people call in pissed off for something. So that's pretty cool. I mean, that we made it pretty far without that. So
yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we will be 100% NBA playoffs starting next week. We can't guarantee you that we'll do a show Monday or Tuesday because we got to look at what's going on. You know, if it's Houston against the 8th seed, I think we could probably start the show and it'd be okay. But even the East still needs to be settled a little bit. So I don't know. We're going to have to figure that out. We're going to have to figure that out as far as how we're going to do this first show. But we will be – shit, even if it took all the way and our schedules got mixed up and we did it Saturday afternoon or something like that, you know, we'll find a way to get this preview show. But, yeah, if you're listening, you've been listening to the college basketball show, you've been listening to the football show, you've been listening to both, whatever it's been, if you like basketball – college basketball, there's a good chance you like the NBA. And there's a good chance you at least like the NBA playoffs. So we will be on a weekly basis. We'll be, and you never know how things go. Sometimes we only have 3 or 4 day gaps. If it's a 5, 6, 7 game series, part of it, you know, there's some epic series and we want to talk about it, or we may take it to 8 or 9 days because nothing new's happened, but we will be each and every round having preview and predictions and recaps and banter and just talking shit. Hopefully that guy calls back with some other funny stuff to ask. But yeah, just a reminder to the folks that we will be going strong just because college basketball is over. We're still going strong on a weekly basis. The college ball show is now really just the ball show, the NBA playoff ball show. Why don't you take us out of here there, buddy?
Yeah, until then, if you're a fan like Chris, hopefully you're not sweating it out too bad. But if you're an NBA fan and you're worried about the Western Conference, I guess just watch all the basketball you can. And it's a good time of year. If the NBA playoffs are half as entertaining as the March Madness craziness was this year, I think Chris and I are in for a very good couple of months of great basketball. And to be honest, I love watching hockey playoffs too. We're not going to talk hockey, but when you get NBA and hockey and every night you have something to watch at home, that is very hard to beat. And lastly, I hope Tiger wins the Masters this week. And I hope he walks up there and kicks ass. And I would love to – I hope the man comes back and wins Augusta. So on that note,
Have a safe and enjoyable weekend. Enjoy listening to our podcast, minus that one erroneous caller. And Chris and I will be back soon. And I hope that his boys make it. I hope Steph gets back. And that we have a lot of fun stuff to talk about for the rest of the NBA season. The boys are out. Have a good night. Peace.